Well, with the next round of international climate change talks to be held in Glasgow in November, the former UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has hit out at Australia, saying that our country is out of step with the world on tackling climate change. New South Wales' own state environment minister, Matt Keane, has also weighed in. He says he wants his federal colleagues to act now or get out of the way. This week, Mr. Keane's clean air strategy, which proposed measures to reduce air pollution across New South Wales, received backlash from several ministers in the cabinet after raising concerns about the stigmatisation of regional and rural communities. Matt Keane joins us now on The Daily. Good morning, Minister. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Well, first of all, how crucial is this bill to the health of the public here in New South Wales?
Well, it's critically important. We know that pollutants in the air has a devastating impact on people's health and on our environment. So we need to be doing everything within our power to make sure that we do have clean air, that we do protect people's health, and we do protect the environment, which is exactly what I'm trying to achieve.
And look, your clean air draft proposal has got some heat among several ministers, some from within your own party who say that this bill actually stigmatises rural and regional communities. How do you respond to that?
We're not trying to stigmatise any section of the community. We're just trying to identify what the issues are and what put plans in place to address them. We know that people living in the regions are disproportionately affected by particulate matter from industrial activities and wood fire smoke, just as people living in the cities are disproportionately affected by traffic smog and particulate matter coming out of vehicles and hazard reduction burn.
Right. So you then reject the Deputy Premier, John Barilaro's criticism that this policy stigmatises regional and rural communities?
Well, the Cabinet is a diverse party room with many different views from many different parts of the state. So we need to work through those issues so that we bring everyone on the journey to deliver the policy that's needed to protect people's health and protect our environment. That's what we're trying to do. Right. There is obviously a concern about the tone of the document. I need to work through those issues. But, you know, in order to get the policy implemented, I need to bring everyone on that journey, and I've got a bit of work to do there, Tina.
Last week, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is better known as the IPCC, released part one of its six assessment report, and it warned that, you know, we're not going to be able to limit global warming to even 2 degrees Celsius unless there are immediate large-scale reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. How frustrating is it for you, someone who clearly takes the threat of global warming quite seriously, that the federal government has so far refused to join other nations in committing to net zero emissions by 2050, which, as the science says, is actually the bare minimum of what we need to do?
Well, I'm concerned about Australia not meeting ambitious targets when it comes to reducing our emissions, not just because I care about our environment, but also because I care about the future state of our economy. We know that 50% of the world's GDP is being generated in jurisdictions that have committed to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. Some of our closest allies and trading partners are well on that journey. In fact, they're putting in place carbon tariffs to protect their industries that are doing the right thing by our planet. So that will come at the expense of Australian jobs, investment into this country and our prosperity. And I think that's too great a cost to pay. So I'm not just arguing that we should take action to reduce our emissions because I care about our environment. I'm arguing because I also care about our economy and the future prosperity of our kids and their kids. I mean, let's face it, Tina, this is going to be the greatest challenge of our times, of our children's times and their children's times. And the decisions we take today are going to determine whether we are a successful and prosperous, strong nation, or whether we're going to be left behind as a rust bucket state.
Well, none of that's in dispute, but in terms of your federal colleagues, I mean, how frustrating, the question is, how frustrated are you with your federal colleagues who aren't heeding these warnings? You yourself have said that climate change is, you know, it's not something that's coming, it's already here, and that the world needs to take action now. Well, much of the Western world already has begun to take action, yet Australia, under Scott Morrison's leadership, remains a laggard on the issue.
Well, I think that we all need to do more, including my colleagues in Canberra. We have an enormous opportunity here in Australia because we have some of the best renewable resources anywhere on the planet. That's not only good for Australian mums and dads and businesses because we can get access to cheap, clean, reliable energy, but it means we can help the rest of the world meet their decarbonisation challenges and do so in a way that will create jobs here, drive investment into our country mm-hmm. and set us up for an even more prosperous future than okay. previous generations have enjoyed. So where we can reduce our emissions and grow our economy, I don't see why we can't do it. Right. So my message to those in Canberra is get on with the job or get out of the way. And we need to make sure that we're putting the nation's interest first rather than vested interest first. And that's what I'm arguing for.
Last week, you said that we listened to the science during COVID and have saved thousands of lives and developed vaccines to save thousands more. Now we need to listen to the science and commit to deep decarbonisation at COP. Now, COP stands for Conference of the Parties, and the next one of those will be held in Glasgow at the end of October. What would you like to see Scott Morrison take to Glasgow?
Well, firstly, I'd say that the nation's targets are a matter for the national government. But, you know, in New South Wales, we're setting very ambitious targets. We've got a net zero target by 2050. We've got a 35% emissions reduction target by 2030. We're going to have more to say about that soon. But we are taking very ambitious targets because it's not only in our the interests of our environment here in New South Wales, it's in the interests of our economy. It's in the interests of our big manufacturers and energy-intensive industries like BlueScope and Tomago, who BlueScope just this week committed to net zero emissions by 2050. So what we're doing is completely in step with markets, with capital, with what the scientists tell us to do. And I'd be encouraging other leaders at the state or federal level to adopt targets that align with what the best science says and the market economy wants.
Should the Prime Minister even go to the Glasgow conference if Australia has no new goals or targets? I mean, he was, after all, disinvited from the last UN conference on climate change due to what much of the international community considers to be Australia's laughable climate policy.
Well, I think that the Prime Minister understands what needs to happen here, what's in the interest of Australian businesses and investors. And I'm confident that the Prime Minister will make the right decisions in our nation's interest. You know, I want to see a federal coalition government re-elected because they have a strong climate policy that will make us a more prosperous and successful nation. That's what I'm arguing for. So I'm encouraged by Conservative and Liberal governments around Australia. I mean, you know, the South Australian Liberal government leads the way when it comes to decarbonising their economy. The Tasmanian Liberal government leads the way in decarbonising their economy. I mean, they're looking at having a 200% emissions reduction target on their state. And New South Wales has just legislated the biggest renewable energy policy in the nation's history. So it's not Liberal or Conservative governments that are out of step with the rest of the world here. In fact, in many cases, they're leading the way. And let's look internationally. It's Conservative or Liberal governments that are leading the world. I mean, Boris Johnson is hardly seen as a woke greenie, and he's, you know, one of the world leaders.
That is true. Boris, absolutely. Boris Johnson has shown great progression on the issue of climate change. But the fact of the matter is our government, our federal government under Scott Morrison has not. So, and I don't think that could be denied. We still haven't agreed to net zero emissions by 2050, which again, I mean, that's really just the bare minimum that we need to do. I mean, most other Western nations have committed to this. Why can't we?
Well, the point that I'm trying to make is that Scott Morrison and the federal coalition should take a lot of encouragement from Conservatives and Liberals leading the way in this space.
Right.
And rather than you know, being behind the curve, they should get ahead of it because there's enormous benefits for our farmers, for our economy, for our businesses from taking strong and decisive action in leading the way in this space. So I'm going to continue to encourage them to do the right thing in our nation's interest.
One of the issues highlighted in the IPCC report was that of land clearing, which is being done in New South Wales under the government that you yourself are a part of at record levels. So 50 million trees a year are being lost due to land clearing in this state alone, which is being blamed on the way your government is regulating it. What's being done to mitigate this?
Well, this is an enormous issue, and it's one that concerns me greatly. We need to do much better in this space. You can't get to net zero if you're clearing land at the rate we're seeing right around the world, not just in New South Wales, right around the world. We need to find better ways to protect our biodiversity, which is one of the reasons that I've expanded our national park estate in New South Wales by more than we've seen in the past at least decade. We've expanded it by over 400,000 hectares. That's new additions to the national parks, which will be protected forever for future generations to enjoy. In addition to that, we've set up the Biodiversity Conservation mm-hmm. Trust, which is about incentivizing farmers and landowners to protect native vegetation on their properties. Mm-hmm. So there are a suite of measures that we're rolling out to reduce the impact of land clearing across New South Wales. But Tina, I take your point. Mm-hmm. I agree. We need to do a lot better in this space if we're going to achieve our goal here, which is to get to net zero by 2050, to do our bit not only for our country but for our planet.
Well, on that note, do you accept that your federal colleagues have fallen into the pockets of coal and gas lobbyists who have, along with much of the Murdoch press, sought to politicise the issue of climate change?
Look, I think that what we need to do is have political leaders at the, you know, at all levels of government that are willing to stand up for the community interest, not vested interests. And mm-hmm. I've argued this recently, that we need a new brand of politics. I mean, we need to move beyond these pointless culture wars, mm-hmm. the politics of division. It's held our country back for too long. I mean, it's ridiculous that powerful lobbyists and mm-hmm. powerful voices have a disproportionate say on the type of policies that are being rolled out right across the country, right across the world.
So it's you'd like to see a change in the way political donations in this country affect policy and legislation?
Well, I'd like to see our body politic stop fighting over pointless, you know, finding pointless division to fight over it and start finding some common ground. When that common ground, when it comes to tackling climate change, is surely where we can reduce our emissions but still grow our prosperity. And there's a very clear pathway forward on that. So what I'm arguing for is certainly more transparency in our donations process, certainly, less power to vested interests and lobbyists mm-hmm. and more power to genuine citizens that want to see a stronger and more prosperous country for everyone, not just the privileged few.
Matt Cain, I understand what a busy week this is for you, so I really appreciate you taking the time to join us on The Daily this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Tina.
Pleasure. That was the New South Wales Environment Minister, Matt Cain, speaking with me there about the need for action on climate change on both a state and federal level.